After a brief hiatus, we are back with the podcast. We'll discuss that in just a little bit. Rest in peace to Peter McNabb. We talked to Mitchell Miller's situation, the Leafs in a nutshell, the Oilers, Shane Wright, suspensions, news, and more here on episode 156 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. Welcome in this morning as I record. It is 9:30 in the morning on Wednesday, November 9th, the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Thank you again for following along. I know it's been a little bit of a hiatus for me. I'll get down to that in just a little bit, but follow along Instagram and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. As we mentioned in the show, we're going to talk the Mitchell Miller situation. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. We're going to talk the unfortunate passing of Peter McNabb. The Toronto Maple Leafs, basically in a nutshell, the Edmonton Oilers, and what I told you, despite the fact they did win last night, Shane Wright in Seattle, what's going on there, and then a couple suspensions and injuries that we'll get to as well on the show. But last week, I didn't do an episode of the podcast. Basically, there's a lot that's been going on right now in my life. It's been very stretched out to a point where I just like overly tired and exhausted. And I didn't have the time or energy, and I didn't want to put a half-assed episode in, especially when I wasn't going to give you my full like authentic self. I would have been a little bit more disgruntled. I would have been a little bit more careless. It would have been lazy, and it just would not have been a good listen. And that's kind of what I like to do here on the show. When I listen to other podcasts, there are certain podcasts that I listen to because they sound like they're always on and they're good listens. And I don't like when a podcast doesn't have a good listen, or, you know, it's not done to the standard that I would want this done to. And that's a big reason. You know, I took a step back. I focused on some other things. I will try to keep up and dedicate myself and get myself up for this. But, you know, right now between being on another podcast, night shift with Mike Stubbs for the London Knights and the Ontario Hockey League, my own morning show on Country 104 in London, Ontario. I do voice acting for an agency on the side. I do the in-game hosting for the London Knights for every home game. I do a post-game show for every Knights game after the game. And then, you know, on top of that, it's life, dogs, renovations. I have a wedding in 8 months that I'm still preparing for. It's a lot going on. So I'm not trying to give you an excuse. I'm trying to update you on what's been going on in my life. And that is why it's been a little bit quiet on my end for a little bit, but I'm coming back today because we've got a lot to get to and I'm very, very excited. But we do unfortunately have to start with some tough news as Peter McNabb, who is a color analyst for the Colorado Avalanche, who played also 14 seasons in the National Hockey League, passed away this past Sunday. He was 70 years of age. There's a quote saying, the Altitude and KSC family are saddened to announce that the passing of our dear friend, Peter McNabb. Altitude TV, the regional sports network of the Avalanche, said in a tweet saying, our hearts go out to the family and friends and the McNabb family who asked for their privacy during the situation. He was unfortunately diagnosed with cancer back in August, and it continued. He did continue his analysis duties while undergoing chemotherapy treatments once every 3 weeks. Unfortunately, it caught up with him. He wasn't permitted to fly, so he only worked Colorado's road games from a local studio, but he was inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame class in 2021, along with retired NHL forward Paul Holmgren and journalist Stan Fischler. You know, it's always tough in the local communities too, because when you listen to your local games, you hear the same people each and every broadcast. And that was what Peter McNabb was. He was always on the color analyst. He played for 14 seasons. He was very well known in the Colorado and Denver area. So a very unfortunate passing for Peter McNabb at the age of 70. Rest in peace and thoughts going out to the friends and family. Okay. I didn't bring up everything that transpired happened in about a 3-day span. And I was a lot more fired up about this yesterday, and yesterday I kind of got caught up. My microphone broke and I was going to record yesterday, but I never got around to it. Obviously, we all know the situation between the Boston Bruins and Mitchell Miller. And it was an insane 48-hour, 72-hour time span. Basically, what had happened is the Boston Bruins had announced they had signed Mitchell Miller to a entry-level extension on Friday. And as soon as that happened, the Twitter world, everyone basically in the media kind of went nuts. The Boston Bruins players went nuts. Mitchell Miller, if you don't remember, he admitted in court back in 2016 to bullying Isaiah Mayer Crothers, who is a black developmentally disabled classmate who grew up with him back in Ohio. Isaiah said that Miller frequently called him the N-word, brownie, during years of harassment, and at one point during the bullying, took a lollipop, wiped it within a urinal, and basically forced Isaiah to consume it, eat it, lick it, whatever you want to call it. It went on for years. He was then drafted in the fourth round by the Arizona Coyotes. That draft pick was then renounced by Arizona. So a couple years have gone by because that was back in 2020. And the Boston Bruins on Friday announced an entry-level deal to Mitchell Miller. 3 days later, they basically nullified the deal, the saying that they had cut ties with Mitchell Miller and the contract. So, I mean, what? This was going to be a disaster regardless. But here's the one piece of kudos I will give is not to Cam Neely, is not to the Boston Bruins organization. It is to Patrice Bergeron. It is to Nick Foligno. It is to Brad Marchand. It is to the leaders of that core group of the Boston Bruins who all spoke out. The first thing, so after the team made the signing, they went in, they addressed the players, said they're signing this. The first words out of everyone's mouth was, why? Patrice Bergeron went on an interview with Elliot Friedman and said, listen, this is a tough pill to swallow. And, you know, we as a team don't condone this type of behavior. We don't agree with what he did. And he said it was going to be tough. Brad Marchand, who, listen, say what you want about Brad Marchand as a player, whether he is causing chaos or he's licking people or punching people in the side of the head. I don't agree. Like that's who he is as a player. He is a very charitable, very incredible member of the Boston community and all that he does. Patrice Bergeron is one of the most well-respected, not just captains, but players in all of hockey. He took over for Zdeno Chara, who was one of the most beloved captains of that franchise. And he might be as beloved and deserving, if not more so. David Krejci is a stand-up and individual, and Nick Foligno is very well loved within the hockey community. When you have those players saying, this is a bad idea, you probably shouldn't go through with doing something like that.
Was this universally rejected within this player group, this move?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, yes. You know, it's like anything, it's not like everyone that's, you know, has something to say, but I feel like the general opinion was that, and I'm glad that, you know, we were heard of.
Those are the only people in that entire organization that I have kudos for. I just don't understand. If in that room, and you are making the decision on whether you want to sign this guy or not. These are some of the quotes that that were said by Cam Neely. And again, I'm not giving him credit or kudos for anything here. Here's some of the quotes he said, quote, so after he cut ties with him, he said, quote, there's a lot of people that are let down today. I'm disappointed that we're in this position. We shouldn't be in this position. We should have done a better job. He essentially said that he didn't do enough background check to know that this was going to be a bad idea. He said, for me, it was not worth putting this organization through this any longer. We like to take pride in what we do in the community and how we hold ourselves accountable. Blah, 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 blah. He then also admitted that he wasn't expecting this much backlash and said the timing was never going to be good. I think it got down to the point where, are we doing it or not? And we made the wrong decision. Said, quote, "I do believe in second chances, but maybe some don't deserve it. I'm not saying in this particular situation, but I do believe in second chances." Again, back to what he said about the whole backlash thing. He knew this was going to take heat. He knew that this organization was going to get it from the media and from their fans for a little bit. But I think he was hoping it was going to blow over, that they could handle it, and that eventually he would be able to play and everyone would kind of forget about what transpired. Again, I'm not giving kudos to them for cutting ties, because it never should have happened in the first place. The whole second chance thing, I just want to remind you, they signed the contract, and I did some digging into entry-level contracts. Entry-level contracts in the NHL are 3 or 2 year contracts. For younger players under 25, they are 3 year contracts where the base salary can be as high as $925,000, and everything along with bonuses permitting can get you to about $2.5, $3 million. And at no point in reading in any of them, even if you terminate a contract, that player is still to be paid out. If you want to talk about second chances, that alone is your second chance. You signed a contract, and in 2 days are going to make roughly, after taxes and everything, probably $1.5 million. The second chance that Mitchell Miller is getting here is the fact that he got payment from the Boston Bruins to not play for them and can now use that to go start his life. Even giving him a thought of signing the deal is what is currently wrong in hockey culture. You think it was a good idea? You think he deserves a second chance? Go ask Akeem Alou if that's a good idea. Go ask PK Subban if it was a good idea. Go ask Wayne Simmonds if it was a good idea. How about Anson Carter? How about Evander Kane? How about Quinton Byfield? Matt Dumba? Ryan Reeves? Imagine. You know, because that's the thing. Boston, I do not believe on Boston's current roster, do they have a black player on their roster? Which, I'm not saying every team, I'm just... But imagine the New York Rangers made this signing. And you're the general manager, and you walk into the dressing room, and there stands 6'4", 240-pound Ryan Reeves. That, hey, we just signed a player that bullied and basically harassed a 14-year-old black man, black kid, who has a developmental disability. Imagine. And for those saying it was an isolated incident, this occurred over years. Now, I have done some not so great things that I'm proud of in my life. A lot of things I'm not proud of. Said things that I'm not proud of. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I am not perfect, nor was I perfect at the age of 14, 15, 16, 17. But I got to tell you, I guarantee you and can proudly say I never had a thought or inkling to go, you know what would be fun? To bully and harass a developmentally challenged black kid. Developmentally challenged at all, but then be racist on the side. Never. I am proud to admit. Now, I have been ignorantly racist before. Said something that I just didn't know it was racist. It was bad. And I've learned from it. I've studied up on it. I watch what I say. I think what I say. And yes, I'm older now. But the thought of doing what he did at 14, I promise you and guarantee and can wholeheartedly say, never crossed my mind as a child. There's making mistakes when you're a kid. Then there's going way over the line. Mitchell Miller was able to play college hockey for a bit. He got recognition. He was drafted, then renounced, and now signed a contract where I'm pretty sure, after checking through the NHL entry-level details and how it works, we'll get some sort of payment from the Boston Bruins to not play hockey. That is your second chance. Take the money. Go. Donate it. Invest it. Do whatever you want with it. If he really wants a second chance, we need details. We need apologies that aren't the week before you sign an NHL contract, which is, by the way, a part I missed. A week before the Boston Bruins made the signing, Mitchell Miller reached out on Instagram to Isaiah's parents apologizing and said it had nothing to do with hockey. And then a week later, he signed the deal, which in the previous 2 years, he did not reach out to the family once. The parents are saying it's blown out of proportion, saying he apologized for it when Isaiah's family, the victim's family, spoke out in an interview and said that at no point did he reach out and apologize. Your second chance is to go start a life and redeem yourself outside of hockey. Because I think that privilege is gone. I don't care how good you are. Something that insane and abysmal. If the NHL or if we allow him to come back into this league, it is completely going backwards from where we are as a hockey culture. And yeah, I'm including we. Media, journalists, podcasters who get a fraction of the listenership and viewership as some of the bigger networks. These opinions matter. And after the Black Lives Matter movement and the stands and the awareness, imagine the volumes it would speak if the NHL allowed Mitchell Miller back into the league. And a kudos going out to Gary Bettman, who said, I don't think he's ever going to be eligible to play in this league. A lot of people made jokes saying that might be the first Gary Bettman win in a long time. And I'd agree. I don't know if it's the first one, but it's definitely a win in his category. It's a wild story. I appreciate you listening to my rant on that. I had to give you my thought process on the situation as well. All right, let's move on to some on-ice hockey talk right now, right? Let's start with the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's been a tumultuous season for these Leafs fans. So the Leafs, this is nothing new for this team and this fan base, okay? Let me just divulge you as to what's happened with this team. They got off to a poor start. They were 4-4-2. They lost to Montreal, Arizona. They lost, I think, their three-game California road trip in games against the last-place Anaheim Ducks, the LA Kings, who were a solid team, and the San Jose Sharks, who were also one of the bottom teams in the league. And then they come out and they beat the Boston Bruins. Then they go on the road in the second half of a back-to-back, and they beat the Carolina Hurricanes. And then they get a point last night in a game against Vegas, in which they grossly outplayed the Vegas Golden Knights. But Toronto is currently on their third-string goaltender because both goalies, like last year, are injured again. Eric Shelgren is the goaltender right now. And we've seen enough from Eric Shelgren to know that he's not like an NHL-caliber guy. He can do a spot start here and there, God forbid, as an emergency situation, which he did. But he's not like the NHL-caliber guy that the Leafs want in each and every night. So Matt Murray's been on IR for some time. He's dealing with some lower body injury. I forget the name of it. Ilya Samsonov hurt his knee. He's out for a couple weeks. I think it's actually Ilya Samsonov. They had to sign Keith Petruzzelli, who is their Marlies goaltender, who wasn't even signed to an NHL contract prior to Saturday when Ilya Samsonov was hurt. What are they, 3-0-1 since the Arizona game, since the California trip? It's just, it's wild to me what this team does night in and night out. It's just, it's how they are. And amazingly enough, despite all the outbursts in the fan base, they're third in the Atlantic, 7-4-3. They should be 8-4-2. Just to put it in perspective, again, yesterday, the Leafs lost 4-3 in overtime to Vegas, in which they outshot Vegas 31-20. Like, that's, it's your third string goaltender giving up 4 goals on 20 shots. I don't blame him a ton, but you know what I mean there. But it's nothing new for this. It's nothing new for this team. It's nothing new for this fan base. Jake Muzzin with this injury, unfortunately, that he might not ever play again. Both starting goalies after Ilya Samsonov, who has like signed on a 1-year, $1.8 million deal, is like, what a bargain, injured. Matt Murray, who was signed, who was brought over from Ottawa with injury history, unfortunately gets hurt in practice. Freak accident. And now they're on Eric Själlgren for the second time in as many years. It's just, the team wasn't performing well enough, and, you know, they lose to Arizona, and they lose to San Jose, and they lose to the Ducks, and then they beat the Bruins, and then the Hurricanes on a second half of a back-to-back with their third-string goalie on the road less than 24 hours after beating Boston, what Carolina didn't play on the Saturday night, and they beat them Sunday. It's hilarious that this team... It's hilarious. I mean, it's unfortunate with the injuries, but it's just, it's funny how this team works. You have no idea what they're going to give you every night. No idea. And, you know, if you know a Leaf fan out there, if you are a Leaf fan listening, I am, of course, like, I try to be as unbiased as possible, and I am a Leaf fan, but holy, it's a roller coaster, to say the least, each and every year. It's wild. Let's move on to another Canadian team over here, and let's talk about the Edmonton Oilers for a second. So Edmonton last night, they snapped their 3-game losing streak. They beat Tampa Bay 3-2. It's been the best game so far of Jack Campbell's young career as a member of the Edmonton Oilers. But Monday, they lost 5-4 to Washington. Prior to that, they lost 6-2 to Dallas. Their goaltenders have basically been split down the middle in terms of starts. Both guys have been getting into the lineup. Jack Campbell started 9 games. Stuart Skinner has started 6. Is this not exactly what I told you guys this team would be this year? They're 8-6. They, I believe, in terms of standings-wise, in goals for and goals against, the Edmonton Oilers are one of the highest scoring teams. I think they have 53 goals. I think the only other higher team is the Boston Bruins of 54. But they have 53 goals for, 49 against. 49 goals against in 14 games. And it was funny because online yesterday, there were two articles that were being resurfaced. One that was being resurfaced, one that got released, which is one of the worst articles I think I've ever seen or read through in my life. The first one was the screenshot of the Edmonton Oilers are now in the Stanley Cup caliber contention after solidifying goaltending with Campbell. The article that was out yesterday or 2 days ago, how the Oilers could swing a deal to send Jack Campbell back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I kid you not, that was the headline of the article. Hilarious. And it's unfortunate because it's the company I used to work for, the hockey writers. Just an abysmal, abysmal article that is dying for clicks. Now, Campbell yesterday, like I said, had one of his best games of the season. They beat Tampa Bay 3-2. Campbell made 35 saves on 37 shots. That's a .946 save percentage and a 2 goals against average. Fantastic. Even after that game, Jack Campbell's numbers on the season are a .393 goals against average and an .884 save percentage, and is 6-3 on the season. Leon Draisaitl came out. So we're giving up too many goals. It's exhausting. He said it's tiring and exhausting having to come back and battle back in games because their team gives up too many goals. This is exactly what I said. So Jack Campbell's not going to be this crazy improvement in net. He was a sub-900 save percentage goaltender for the Leafs in the playoffs. He had 2 months where he was an all-star, and after that had a three-month abysmal run where he was like an 860 save percentage and a 3.5 goals against average goalie. He signed a five-year, $5 million contract at 30. Yes, goaltenders sometimes blossom a little bit later, and every now and then you hit on a guy, and maybe Jack finds his groove and has that stretch where he was dominant like he did when he was in Toronto last year for the first couple months. But you are asking a lot of a guy. He had great numbers when he was in LA when they were Stanley Cup caliber teams. And it's funny because what this actually goes to show is how underrated the Leafs defense are. And how Mike Smith was actually really good as a member of the Edmonton Oilers. Mike Smith was really good. His playoff run last year was awesome. He had a couple of blow-up games where he gave up like 7. But his overall numbers were fantastic. I don't think Jack is this bad in terms of like a 9.39 goals against and an 8.84. But I think he's going to give you like 9.05. By the end of the season, I think he's going to be like a 2.8 goals against and a 9.05 save percentage goaltender. And there'll be some nights where he plays really well, like he did last night. And there's some nights where he just doesn't have it. He just might not have it. He's one of the nicest guys in hockey, but a lot of times he's super down on himself and it's a very negative vibe. And as a team, as a goalie, I never emoted that I was playing poorly. I took responsibility, but he's just so sad when he says it. Like this is what he had to say.
Maybe just a thought on the way it ended up going tonight, Jack. Obviously, a number of goals scored there. Just how do you think it went for you?
Kind of like it's gone all year for me personally. You know, I just haven't brought my best, and frankly, it's just been pathetic the way I've been playing. So, you know, I owe it to this team to bring my A game, and they haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to just keep working hard, and I'm going to get through this and be there for the guys, but they've been playing great.
Like, doesn't he just sound like he just lost a playoff round? Like, dude, you got time. You can adapt. But this is exactly what I said. I said that, you know, going into last night's game, he had an 874 save percentage and a 420 goals against. So last night's numbers really boosted him. But it's exactly what I thought it would be in Edmonton. They'd still win games. They're still scoring a lot. We haven't even talked about the fact that Connor McDavid this season in 14 games has 14 goals and 29 points. He's literally going to score 150 points this season. It's absolutely stupid. But they cannot keep the puck out of the net. Like between the two Oilers goaltenders, Stuart Skinner's been the better goalie, 2.62 goals against and a 9.28 save percentage. And Campbell's got the 3.93, 8.84. His numbers will get better and Stewart's will come down, but it's exactly what I said it would be this year. It's exactly what I said it would be. Let's talk about the Seattle Kraken and their fourth overall pick, Shane Wright. His NHL career, not gone off to the start that you've wanted it to. Like I said, there were talks about him going first overall. He fell to Seattle at 4. He's been scratched in about half of Seattle games so far this season. He's got an assist in those games. And, you know, he's talked about it. He's saying it's frustrating not playing. You want to be in there every single lineup. You want to be the guy. And, you know, Seattle management came out and just said, too, that they want him to be a part of this team throughout the entirety of the year. And I kind of question why they would want to do something like that. Listen, we have to understand that not every 18-year-old is just going to roll into the league and dominate. Auston Matthews, I think, was 19 turning 20 when he took over. When Mitch Marner was drafted as an 18-year-old, fourth overall, guess what Toronto did? Sent him back to junior. What did he do in junior? He won a Memorial Cup. I believe he won the scoring title. They beat O'Connor McDavid. And then came to the Toronto Maple Leafs and has not put up a season where he scored less than 60 points in a full year. A really good point by Frank Saravalli from the Daily Faceoff podcast said that Shane Wright never had that dominant season in the Ontario Hockey League that a lot of guys do when they make the transition over. You know, Shane Wright had a really good season in the OHL, but he didn't have that. He didn't put up his 50-something goals. He didn't put up 120 points or anything like that. You know, he was a really good player, but he never had that, like, standout season. Like, here you go for an example. 63 games. And this is a really good season. In 63 games, hit 32 goals and 62 assists for 94 points. The year prior, he had 66 points in 58 games. But in terms of dominant performances, the year Mitch Marner got drafted, he put up 44 goals and 82 assists for 126 points in 63 games. Then he got drafted. Then he got sent back to London, where in 57 games, he had 39 goals and 77 assists for 116 points. His rookie year, he had 59 points in 64 games. He had 215-plus point seasons in the Ontario Hockey League before then coming to Toronto. And like I said, he has not, even in the shortened seasons, he has never had less than 61 points, which was his rookie year total. He had 69 the year after, 94, 67, 67. Those are the shortened seasons. And then 97 last year. Like, and it's okay. You don't need to make an impact immediately in the NHL. But the best thing for Seattle, the best thing for Shane Wright's development, send this dude back to Kingston in the Ontario Hockey League. Give him the captaincy. Let him absolutely tear up the OHL. Get his confidence up. Get bigger. Get stronger. Go play at the World Junior Hockey Championships. And then go play for Seattle. Seattle's already got their young stud at center, Matty Beniers. He's already the guy, part of the U.S. National teams. Last year in Seattle, he was only limited to 10 games. He had 9 points. Guess what? He's got 9 points already this season. He's going to smash that. He's played in every game. But he went back. He played at University of Michigan in the Big Ten. He played well. And now he's going to be a dominant player. But they told him, go back and play in college. Matty Beniers was a second overall pick for this team. He is still a child. He's 20 years old. Shane Wright's 18. It is okay if you go back and you play junior. It is okay if you play in the American Hockey League. You do not need to be a guy who has to come in and immediately make an impact at 18. It's just insanity to me. But nevertheless, I hope that Shane Wright gets his game together because I've watched him in the OHL. He's a very good player. And I think he's going to be a good player for a long time. But you got to do right by the player in this situation. All right, before we head on out, a couple news and notes. Vander Kane, unfortunately, was taken to hospital. He was skated over on his wrist yesterday in a game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. He was admitted to the hospital. He is stable. He is okay, but he will be out for some time after taking a skate to the wrist. Hopefully, he's all right in general, and maybe he'll come back, but he will definitely miss some time with a wrist injury. Montreal Canadiens forward Josh Anderson was suspended 2 games by the NHL Department of Player Safety against the Vegas Golden Knights after boarding Alex Pietrangelo on Saturday. He received a 5-minute major penalty and a game misconduct on the play. Florida Panthers star Matthew Tkachuk also suspended 2 games for high-sticking Los Angeles goaltender Jonathan Quick on Saturday. The department made the announcement saying that the incident occurred in the final minute where Quick made the save and Tkachuk poked him Quick in the eye with his stick on purpose. And it drew, obviously, lot of attention and the frustration from Jonathan Quick in that situation. And like I mentioned earlier, Toronto Maple Leafs signed goaltender Keith Petrozelli to a two-year entry-level contract after Ilya Samsonov was injured after hurting his knee in Saturday's win against the Boston Bruins. Here's a really fun audio piece from the Toronto Marlies announcing the signing of Petrozelli.
Unfortunately, this is hockey. Sometimes injuries happen. Tonight they did. Keith Petrozelli is going to sign an NHL contract.
Really wholesome moment there. Petrozelli was 6-0 in the AHL Toronto Marlies system. He had a .922 save percentage, 2.31 goals against. 23 years of age. Last year, he was in the ECHL with the Newfoundland Growlers. He went 16-6-1, a 2.01 goals against, and a .927 save percentage. He was the ECAC Hockey Goalie of the Year in 2021 and was a finalist for the Hobie Baker Award in the NCAA. Really awesome stuff. That does it for the pod today. Thank you very much for listening. We are back in full swing here. Follow us on social media at ST Hockey Podcast. My socials at Kyle Grimard, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Enjoy the warm weather we get for the next 3 days, and we'll see you next week. Until then, that's a wrap.